Stephen Douglas Kerr.
KNBR presents The Steve Kerr Show with his former teammate Tom Tolbert.
The stadium should get a free beer on Tom Tolbert night. It would be appropriate.
Along with Adam Copeland. It's Tolbert, Copes, and the head coach of your reigning champs, Steve Kerr, on The Sports Leader. Dr. Junk.
Papakwa.
It's the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, Stephen Douglas Kerr. Oh, what's going on?
You plug Tommy Lasorda into the open.
That's well, we actually just threw it in there today because Copes was asking me about the Tampa Bay Dallas game, and I had Tampa, unfortunately. So my answer was, well, I had Tampa Bay +3 in that game, so that's kind of a tough question to ask me, don't you think? You got beat 31-14, and, you know, I mean, well, hell. So I knew you'd appreciate
it. Hell of a question to ask me.
My favorite part, Steve, is when Tommy goes, that wasn't a good – he goes, that wasn't much of an answer. He goes, well, I asked you a question. You gave me an answer. And then Tommy goes, yeah, but it wasn't a good answer. I just, you know, you asked me the question. I like the fact – I loved it. Yeah, but it wasn't a good answer.
My favorite part was when Tommy goes, I mean, geez, you asked me that question. I mean, what I think of his performance, what, he had 7 RBIs? And the guy goes, 8.
Tommy, that's right.
I mean, hey, geez, 8. Right. I mean, yeah.
What do you have? Blank sucker hit 3 home runs.
Yeah, right.
I mean, geez. That's one of my favorite Tommies because it's not the irate Tommy, but he still mixes in an abundance of curse words, and you can tell he's upset, but he's also kind of apologetic because he's not giving the guy a great answer.
It was a different time, Tom. Can you imagine if I had a press conference like that today? Like, would I still have a job by the time the interview was over?
Oh, you know what? Like, it'd be easier if it was one of those teams that was winning, like, you know, 69 games, something like that. But, and you're right around 500. But I was thinking, like, Jason Tatum's a guy. They could get big numbers, and then somebody asked you, what do you think of Jason Tatum's performance? What do I think of Jason Tatum's performance? What do you have? Bleeping 50 points. Yeah. What do you think I felt of his performance?
All right. I promise you guys, I will do that.
Yes.
Without all the extracurricular.
Yeah. Leave the profanity out, but work it in. That would be good.
That's kind of a tough question to ask me, isn't it?
Jeez. Yeah, 50 points.
I'm definitely going to fit that in at some point this year just for you guys.
Beautiful.
Okay, that'll be incredible. But you're right. That kind of stuff, I mean, we had a bunch of managers that used to give us, not as good as Tommy probably, but a bunch of managers that used to give us, you know, that type of stuff throughout the course of the years. You don't get any of the, none of that stuff anymore. It's just, I don't know if it's like, people evolve, people don't want to hear it anymore, but we grew up with it, so it still, like, cracks us up to this day. We hear it and it cracks us up. Like, I miss that type of stuff. I miss the colorful baseball, Lou Piniella, all that kind of stuff. You just, you don't get that anymore in sports. You just don't.
No, and I think you nailed it. I think people evolve, and that is that you have to evolve with the time. And back then, you could get away with it really easily. These days, you just have to watch everything you say in public and you know, on the air. I'm sure you guys have to do that. I know when I was doing commentary for TNT, you know, it's just there were times where I say something and I go, oh my God, I'm gonna get some heat for that. And there just wasn't that concern because people, you know, it was different because there was no social media. And, you know, the word didn't spread all over the world immediately, and so there weren't the repercussions that there would be now.
Not as much fun. I could tell you that.
Nope. No, I agree.
Doubt about that. I agree. So tell us about the visit to the White House. By the way, I really appreciate, I don't know if anybody else would pick up on this, but the first championship you guys won, I mean, you're the head coach of the team. And I'm looking for you in the picture. You're like on the far right end. Like you're as far away from the middle as you could possibly be. But there are trainers between you and the president. I'm like, what head coach would do that? Because most head coaches kind of like being the center of the attention. They're cool with it. I mean, that's kind of always been who you are, isn't it? I mean, you just want to do the work. You coach because you love coaching. It's not about anything else. It's certainly not about the spotlight. But I get the feeling you feel like, hey, the players are doing the work. Obviously, we're a part of it. But let them all get in there and let everybody else get their shine. I don't really need it.
Actually, what I was thinking more was, Jesus, Raymond. Okay, I mean, you're going to ask me to come do a ceremony at the White House, and you're going to make me sit stand in the corner. Or you're going to ask me a question like that. You're going to ask me a question like that. It's kind of a tough question to ask, don't you think, Raymond? Am I going to stand in the corner? I'm the head coach of the team, Raymond. Am I going to stand in the corner?
Blank sucker, you're going to stand in the corner. So what was it? What was the experience like yesterday? I mean, it has to be pretty awesome stuff.
It really is. It's amazing. You know, just being in there and the history and knowing, you know, everything that's happened there, the people who have walked through those halls and you know, the moments that have occurred. And so to just be in there alone is amazing. And then to actually meet the president and the vice president and to, you know, have basically a tour around the White House. And, you know, the president gave Steph and me a little tour of the Oval Office, which was a huge thrill. And he couldn't have been nicer. You know, he was so humble and thoughtful with his words and welcoming to all of us. And it was awesome. It was a great day.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
So as a player and a coach, have you hit Clinton, right? Clinton was there one of those times you won. Mm-hmm. Bush?
Let's see. Remember.
Maybe it was San Antonio or at Bush the end of the Bulls run?
Yeah, so San Antonio, I know the second time I didn't make it the White House because I had retired and they were on a road trip or whatever, and so I probably there the first time, which would have been 2000. So yeah, George, the first George Bush, that's been named president. So I remember meeting him. He came in our locker room when he was governor of Texas, it's a good sign when you're trying to remember how many White House presidents you've had.
Seems like blasé about it. He's like, yeah, I mean, it's cool, but
yeah.
Yeah. But you know, what's funny is that it used to be something that the league didn't really schedule around. You know, like I think one day with the Bulls, I think we went on a game day. And because, you know, the league didn't sort of plan, and now they plan the schedule around it. And mm-hmm. so we knew, you know, beforehand we were going to get a couple of days in D.C. and all that. Back then it was more sort of impromptu.
It looked to me like when guys go to the White House, everyone, I don't know, would you guys barber on staff because it looked like everyone had haircuts, everyone had their suits ready to go. I mean, everyone, it's like a little extra special. Like, everyone wants to look as good as they could possibly look, don't they?
Oh, for sure. For sure. And you know, we don't wear suits anymore anyway. All the coaches, you know, now we're wearing it.
That's right.
The quarter zips of games. So, yeah, everybody dusted off the suits. And, you know, a lot of the guys were able to bring, you know, their wife or their mom or, you know, just a family member, and it was really special. We had a huge chunk of our organization here, and so it was a great day for the Warriors.
So we've talked a lot about the lack of defense that your team has played this year. Although it got better, then it got a little worse. Obviously, it's better at home. On the road, I've come to the conclusion: no one plays defense anymore in the league. I don't know what happened this year. Did everyone just get together and say, you know what, let's not play defense this year? Because I watch, especially over the last few nights, I've watched a lot of games in a lot of different teams. What happened this year? Has everybody just said, hey, let's take the year off and play defense? Because really, everyone's backslid.
Right. Yeah. I think it's been an evolution over the last 5 or 6 years. And you know, some of it is pace of play. Everybody decided to play faster. Some of it is the influence of Steph, you know, just shooting from where he does. Now you're seeing so many guys come, you know, cross mid-court and pull up from the logo. Like, that's kind of common to see that in any NBA game now. I think a lot of it is the rules. The NBA has really slanted the rules towards the offensive player. You're seeing the offensive guys really gain advantages in so many different situations. I think it's become almost impossible to play defense in a lot of cases.
You
know, the refs will tell you, you know, he wasn't in legal guarding position, and you're like, yeah, but he barreled over my guy. Like, what is legal guarding position if somebody just runs right through you? But it's, you know, this is the way the league has gone over the last decade. It's really become more open and free and mostly, you know, with positive results. But I think we've gone a little bit overboard and we've taken away the power of some of the things the defense can do.
No, I agree. I think we've overcorrected from the 90s. I think the 90s were brutal. Yeah. It was ugly. No one wanted to watch those games. No one should have to watch a 72-69 NBA game. So, yeah, the change was obvious, but we've gone so far in the other direction now that every game's, 124 to 120, and it's fun to watch those games, but when every game's that game, it's like, well, it's not even a big deal to score 120 anymore because everybody's scoring. Like, 130 is now what 120 used to be, and 140s aren't unheard of anymore. I mean, there's a lot of teams that are dropping 40-point quarters, so I don't know what there is to be done. I know leagues feel like everyone loves offense, and maybe the casual fans do, but I'd like it to be at least somewhat of a fair fight, because in the 90s it wasn't a fair fight for the offense. They had no chance how physical you could play. But now the defense has basically no chance.
Yeah. So I agree. I think we've overcorrected, and good thing with the league is I think they do a good job of figuring that stuff out. And the changes that the league made, you know, over the last decade have been largely positive. And but, you know, if we voice our concerns league-wide, coaches and general managers, that the defense isn't being allowed to play, then the league will change. We know that they're very flexible. They're good to work with.
You know, the other thing I feel like has happened because of that with the defensive, it not being as intense as it used to be, is we've saturated what great scoring performances look like now. I saw a note a couple of weeks ago. I think we're already now at 16 or 17 50-point performances this year. But, like, I remember I was in high school when Kobe scored 81. That was all anybody talked about for, like, 3 weeks, that Kobe scored 81 points. And we've had a 71-point game from Mitchell this year. Luka went for 60. I know Embiid had a 58 or a 59-point game. Devin Booker did the same. It just seems like that's happening so frequently now that it's not as impressive to us, because it seems like every night somebody can go for 50 or 60 points.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. And so I think there are certain areas of the game. Every night, you know, when I'm watching our game and I watch tape, there's certain things that happen that I think, you know, we have to get back as a league to, allowing the defense to make a play. And there's just too many advantages given to the offensive player. And then, you know, when you combine that with just the skill set of these guys, everybody now grows up shooting, a 1,000 threes every day. And the dribbling and the shooting skills have never been better. And so when you combine that with the rules, with the comfort level that all the coaches around the league have playing fast as opposed to, you know, even 15 years ago, this is the result. So I think we've probably overcorrected, as you said, Tom.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Yeah, I mean, if we would have seen back when we were playing Steve, somebody pump fake and then sidestep, shoot a three, or shoot a step back three, everybody would have fell out of their chairs like, whoa, look, that was incredible. Now, I mean, there's like four or five guys on a team. I mean, that's almost like you got to have that in your bag. If you want to be a perimeter player, you got to be able to do those things. And some of the stuff they do that really, and you mentioned Steph did that. It was like Steph, Lillard, Harden would do the step back. Some of it was a travel, some not. But that was just a move that not a lot of people can do. Hell, now the sixth guy on the team can come in and do a step back three or a pump fake, and they can sidestep either left or right. So you're right. I mean, these guys, they're growing up. That's the stuff they're being taught. I doubt they're being taught the mic and drill.
Yeah, we haven't used the mic and drill yet this year, but I might throw it out there just so I can laugh.
Looney will be the only one that like, oh yeah, I used to do that. I used to like that one. So where are you at right now? I mean, you feeling a little bit better after you got two wins on the road? The Washington one was a big one because it looked like that one might get away the same way Chicago got away, but you managed to buckle down when you needed to defensively and get some quality shots coming down the home stretch. Obviously, Jordan was really big, as was Steph in the second half. But where are you feeling like you're at right now, a little bit over halfway through?
Well, I mean, that was a great win. We needed to get that one, especially given that, you know, we're finishing this trip with Boston and Cleveland on a back-to-back. That's tough. I still feel like we can get where we need to go to be a contender. But, you know, we are 22-22. We're I think 16th in the league in offensive rating and 14th in defensive rating. So, you know, the Bill Parcells line better than I do, Tom. So you are what you
are. What your record says you are. Yep.
So that's where we are right now. So we've got to pick it up. We know the areas we've got to improve. Hopefully we get healthy here over the next couple of weeks and can find a way to kick it into gear. But I still think we can do this. I love the players. I love the guys we have. I love the continuity and the identity that we have, that we've built over the last decade. I believe in all that, but we have to get to the playoffs in order, you know, to really count on all that and rely on that in a playoff series. And it's a long haul, you know, 82 games, a long haul, especially for all these guys who have been doing this for a long time now. We're kind of struggling to get through it.
Let me ask you this, because I know you and I disagree on the midseason tournament, which is awesome because we haven't even seen it play out yet. We don't even know what it's going to be all about.
See, I'm a fan. But, personally.
But let me. I know you already got the. You already got the T-shirt.
I got T-shirts. Yeah, just says mid-season tournament.
Let me ask you this, because I'm thinking, what could be a better use of the NBA's time instead of a mid-season tournament? How about instead of like taking the money you're going to pay players in a mid-season tournament, how about taking that money, maybe even making it more so, and giving it to the teams that finish with the top record in each conference? And furthermore, how about giving the teams that win their conference an extra like $10, $15, $20 million on the salary cap the next year, whatever you decide you wanna throw in there, so we can make these regular season games worthwhile again? Because they're trying to make a mid-season tournament make the regular season more exciting, when really making the regular season more exciting would make the regular season more exciting. And if we could get these guys playing more, I mean, every we've talked about this, every game I look at, guys are missing right and left, and it's for precautionary reasons, but I mean, guys can play 82. They can play 80, 77. They've done it before and gone through the playoffs. They don't do it anymore, and everyone just accepts it. But wouldn't that make more sense to try to make the regular season more meaningful, where we're getting more guys out there who may play through small, you know, bumps and bruises? It's so, you know, when you're watching an NBA game and it's like this guy versus that guy, this, and all of a sudden you're not, those guys aren't out there. I feel like that happens more than, I don't want to even go back to when we played, more than it's happened like in 10 years ago. Wouldn't that make more sense, trying to make the regular season more relevant? Because let's be honest, right now it's not.
Well, I think if it were up to me, I would cut 10 games out of the schedule and just have a 72-game season. I think that would allow spread the games out a little bit more. I don't think you'd see the resting that goes on. It usually, players sitting out, you know, it comes when the schedule gets really rough. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you took away some games and allowed more rest time in between games, then I think you'd see players playing a lot more. And a shorter schedule would mean more relevant games. I mean, there's a reason every game in the NFL matters. There's only 16. So if the race is to 72 games instead of 82, just, you know, by definition, each game is worth more. It's more valuable. So I know that probably won't happen because there's revenue involved and money and all that stuff, but I think that would be my ideal setup.
I'd be okay with that too. That'd be fine, 72. And remember, Steve, 17 NFL games now.
Oh, excuse me. That's right. My bad.
Yeah, let's go. Pick it up. I expect more out of you.
By the way, the NFL should go back to 16 games if I didn't mention that already. Jeez. No more Thursday night games. Those poor guys. Oh, my God. We're really going to ask those guys to play Sunday and Thursday. What are we doing? We're
Hey, look, I agree with you there, too, but they signed up for it. they signed off on it.
They sure did.
Money trumps everything. It's like you look at it, and I was with them, you know, playing Thursday night football games. I was like, okay, but hey, you guys signed up for it, so you can't bitch and complain after the fact and saying this is bad for you. We know it's bad for you. You know it's bad for you, but it's more money, so everyone decides, okay, let's go ahead and sign off on it. So I guess they give you enough money, people are going to sign off on stuff, even though they may know it's against their best interest to do so.
I think you just nailed it on the head, Tom. Money wins.
Well, and Steve, we just had Dante Whitner on, and he was talking about how when he played, like people would criticize him, his family would, about things he did or didn't do on the field. And he said, you know what playing football is like, or playing on an NFL field? He said, it's like, get into a helicopter, and I'll push you out of the helicopter and have you land on the freeway. On a busy freeway. I said, that's what being on an NFL field is like. And he's like, so if you think you can do that, then you can do what I do.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah.
sounds like pleasant,
pretty good,
it?
Right? Yeah, NFL free. Well, don't forget about the helicopter part, too. You can shove that out of that thing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. God. Well, we will let you go. Best of luck tomorrow in Boston. And just remember one thing. If you don't remember anything else from this interview, just remember one thing. Bavacqua.
the fuck?
I want that on. I want that on there every week.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Done. I'll throw that for you. The disgust in his voice is the best. Bavakwa.
Bavakwa.
I used so to send a limo to that guy's hotel.
Yeah, right.
All right, Stevie, so have a great night, man.
All right, you too.
We'll talk to you.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.